8:15. All right, we'll go a little longer. We'll try for 8:30, something like that. All right. I think because we already chanted Jairada Madhava, that we could jump right into the Sanskrit. And I need a copy of the verse. Otherwise, I can see. Is Archita here? We are Archita-less. Krishna Sadamo Pagate Damagana Divi Soho Kalanda Sotisham Misha Parono Kodododita Narayana Namaskar Chandram Shaivam Narottama Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayat. The Bhagavatam is to bring us the sun that has risen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied with knowledge, religion, etc. Persons who have lost the vision of the dense darkness at the age of Kali should get light out of this Purana. Before beginning our study of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is a very means of conquest, we should first offer respects to the personality of God in Narayan, to the Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, the goddess of learning, Mother Saraswati, the author, Srila Vyasadeva, and my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Is there a 10th canto? Was that what this was?
No,
we need this verse so that I can chant it. And I'm sorry about that. It's a long story, but. Why, thank you, Prabhu. Tam Buddhi Lakshanaldaya Rupa Shila Gunashrayam Krishnas Cha Sadrishim Bhayam Samudvodam Mano Dade Tamburi Lakshanodaya Rupa Shila Gunashrayam Krishna Cha Sadrisham Bhayam Samudvodumano Dade Tamburi Lakshanodaya Rupa Shila Gunashrayam Krishna Cha Sadrisham Bhayam Samudvodum Anodade
Tamburi Lakshanaldarya
Tamburi Lakshanaldarya
Rupashila Gunashrayam
Rupashila Gunashrayam
Krishnascha Sadrisim Bharyam
Krishnascha Sadrisim Bharyam Samudvodum Anodade Ladies? Tamburi Lakshanadaya Rupa Shila Gunashrayam Krishna Cha Sadrishim Bhayam Samudhodum Manore Tam Her Buddhi of intelligence Lakshana auspicious bodily markings. Adaya, magnanimity. Rupa, beauty. Shila, proper behavior. Guna, and other personal qualities. Ashraya, repository. Krishna, Lord Krishna. Cha, and Sadrishim, suitable. Bhayam, wife. Samudvodum, to marry. Mana, his mind. Dade, made up. Translation. Krishna knew that Rukmini possessed intelligence, auspicious bodily markings, beauty, proper behavior, and all other good qualities, concluding that she would be an ideal wife for him
he made up his mind to marry her. I'll say, you say. Lord Krishna knew that Rukmini possessed intelligence, auspicious bodily markings, beauty, proper behavior, and all kinds of good qualities, concluding that he would be an ideal wife for him. He made up his mind to marry her. Om Agnata Madandasya Agna Agna Salakaya Jokshu Shumalatan Gena Tasani Shi Guruve Namaha. Bye bye. Because it's Bhagavatam class, I wanted to say a little something from the Bhagavatam. So, yeah, that's a good way to go. Went out on a high note. Yeah. So I thought what we would do is go through, time permitting, the story of Krishna kidnapping Rukmini, and for whatever my small vision is, offer a few little stories, because the pastime is so sweet. But I thought I would preface it. I was on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada one time, and Prabhupada was quiet. He wasn't saying anything. And then all of a sudden he stopped, he turned to us, looked at us, and said, "I know you're all atheists, but there really is Krishna." And turned right around and kept walking. So this is our nature. Conditioned nature, not our real nature, but our conditioned nature. I remember someone was, Hare Krishna, someone was giving, I think it was Jadwaita Maharaj giving class in Laguna, in San Diego. And, you know, crowded Sunday feast. And I don't know if you've been to the San Diego temple, but there's a fountain, and then there's the altar, and then there's the deities. There's two. I've got my eye on you, young man. You get three shots, one's up. So the Jadwaita Maharaj gave his class, questions and answers. Some had the aura that he was a scholar and a yogi. And he asked, "What is the spiritual significance of the fountain?" You know, the fountain was bubbling there. And Jadwaita Maharaj, picking up on the vibration of the man, his impersonal nature, he said, "The point of the fountain is it makes a sweet sound that is very pleasing for Krishna, who's standing in front of the fountain." The man hadn't even noticed, you know, beautiful Radha Giridhari standing on the altar. So we have our impersonal, or we have our materialistic, or we have our fickle natures. But there really is Krishna, confirmed by Srila Prabhupada. Just one pastime, Prabhupada in La Cienega. I remember Prabhupada came for greeting the deities. And the old temple was almost the same distance from where Prabhupada came in. There was a back door. It was actually the main door. Prabhupada came in. And we only had small Radha Krishna deities. And we had Jagannath deities and small Radha Krishna deities. So, you know, Dwarkanath. Prabhupada immediately turned and called for Shalavati. Shalavati was the head pujari. He called for Shalavati. And he said, "There's tilak in Krishna's eye." So, you know, because when you bathe the small Ashtatattva deities, you use tilak and lime, and, you know, that creates a reaction and it polishes the deities. And also the little bit of abrasiveness makes them nice and shiny. So Shalavati went on, and, you know, you can see they're maybe this big. Prabhupada had made this comment from this far away. Shalavati went on the altar, and she looked, and she looked, and she looked, and sure enough, in the corner of Krishna's eye was about the size of a pin, a little tiny piece of tilak. So Prabhupada's affection for these deities, and also the position, we are all loving something. In fact, actually at the old temple, what is his name? I think it's that boy, DDD. Prabhupada used to call him Dorgadish Das, Mr. DDD. He wrote a poem. And that poem was, instead of, well, only verse I remember, and Prabhupada liked this poem. He said, "Instead of loving just a dog or a cat, why not love Krishna, who made all of that?" Prabhupada liked it. It was a nice verse. So we're giving our love, the nature that Prabhupada said, you know, they live all alone. Now people are putting their animals in their wills. People have more confidence in their dog than their wife or their husband. And probably rightly so. The dog is probably more loyal. I mean, who else is always happy to see you? I mean, even your best friend may not always be happy, but dog's always happy to see you, usually. So people are putting, we are going to put our love somewhere. But what is the result of that? What is the, you know, where does that, what does it produce? When I first joined the temple, my parents completely, as you say in modern jargon, flipped out. And it's a long story, but the short, and I'm insignificant. But the point is, my mother wound up sitting across the street here. There was private homes in those days. And she sat under, it was a magnolia tree, maybe the same trees, sat under a tree and said, I am going to fast until I die unless you come home. And I was 17 and a half years old, and my mother was a good mother, you know. And I was thinking, well, maybe I should go home and let her get used to it. You know, I was torn what to do, you know. And Vishnu Janmarsh put his arm around me, and he said, if you go home and become the perfect son, win the Nobel Peace Prize, become President of the United States, win an Oscar, and with an audience of 16 billion people or whatever the population of the earth is on television say, I owe it all to Mom. I mean, what more could you do to glorify your mother? He said, still, she's going to die. Time and tide wait for no one. Prabhupada, one man was at an appointment. He was in a hurry to leave. Prabhupada said, don't worry. You only have one appointment and you will not miss it. You know, you can't look at your day timer and tell Yamaraj, no, Thursday doesn't work. How about never? Does never work for you? No, it doesn't work that way. So Vishnu Janmarsh made this point that even you become the perfect son, your mother's going to die. And where will she go in her next life? You know, Prabhupada said, just like centrifugal force, the mind is spinning. Prabhupada said, once whole life goes before you, and that which, just like you can picture with a sling, what do they call it? Sling, what do they call it? With a rock, you know. Huh? Yeah, slingshot. What, there's another name for it, but anyway. The mind will spin. And then at the time, whatever you're most attached to, zing, that's where you go. Or in the case of, I don't want to offend anyone here, but Nehru, Prabhupada said in his next life he became a dog in the Swedish embassy. Prabhupada said, if you want to offer respects, you can take him one biscuit. So we don't know where we're going to go. So we're giving our love in so many places. But Krishna very kindly appears as the beautiful, sweet deity to accept our service. We used to take the deities here out on a parade. Started in La Cienega and continued here on Motsika. And there's a picture, wherever that signboard is, there's a picture of that cart. I think it was Sunday morning. We used to take the deities. And it was an interesting thing. People would come out and actually give flowers from their garden. And then the treasurer would give a report. Sometimes on a big week, the collection would be $500 or something, you know, on a big week. So, and Prabhupada was so pleased. You know, if you go outside and look down the alley, you can see this one window here. It's an upstairs window above the staircase. Prabhupada would come out and watch, and he was usually getting his massage. And sometimes Prabhupada would be there in his gumsha and his beautiful golden form, and he would be playing madunga on his drum, on his stomach, you know, just playing madunga on his little sweet Brahmin belly, probably playing madunga and watching the parade. So putting the deity in the center of our life, what is it? Yeyatam mam prapadyante. That as we surrender, Prabhupada said this is called, Prabhupada called the law of reciprocity. This is one of the laws of bhakti, that as you surrender, Krishna reciprocates. Of course, Krishna's, what is that guy, Barry Madoff? Who made off with everybody's money. Now he's in jail where he belongs. But I think his claim was that he was giving, was it 18% or 15, whatever it is, you know, some astronomical amount rate, let's say 20% rate of return. And it was all bogus. But Prabhupada said that the law of reciprocity is you take one step to Krishna, Krishna will take 10 to you. So what is that? Is that a return of a rate of 1,000%? Whatever that is, just imagine. So why not, instead of giving our love to a dog or a cat, Why not give it to Krishna? And Krishna sweetly appears as the deity. You can offer some simple service. We all have something. Make some garland, sweep the temple. When Prabhupada was walking in Detroit, he said, because we had peacocks, and the peacocks would do their business. They would drop their droppings all over the place. So the devotee was out sweeping the walkway right in front of Srila Prabhupada. Sweep. One devotee was brushing, and another devotee was there with a hose, so Prabhupada would have a clean walkway. And Prabhupada said, actually, this washing the steps of the temple, or washing the deity, on one hand, both are stone. Of course, we know it's Chintamani and all that. But on one hand, they're both stone. So Prabhupada said, whether you're bathing the deity or washing the sidewalk in front of the temple, both are the same result. Because water is there, bathing is there, it's the same principle. So Prabhupada made this little analogy. So we can all do some simple service. And if we put Krishna in our heart, that's satisfaction. Because the time of death will come. What is it? Ante Narayana Smriti. And if we develop that love for Krishna, the time of death will come. And we'll be able to close our eyes and simply... What is it in Isha Upanishad? That even if I forget you, please don't forget me. One of the mantras is there. And Prabhupada used to give purports. He gave class on those Isha Upanishad verses when the temple room was over here. And Prabhupada said, actually, Krishna will incarnate into the mind of the devotee, remembering the service that we have done. So just, this is a wonderful opportunity to glorify your Ishtadev, beautiful Dwarkanathji, Rukmini, and take shelter of them. So with the few minutes remaining, what to do? We should say, well, I guess we'll go as far as we can on this. We'll just say a little something about these pastimes. Of course, the beginning of this pastime of stealing Rukmini is that Krishna's Ranchor, you know, he's there. I think he defeated Sisupal, is it 17 times? Jarasandha. I meant Jarasandha. Thank you. Jarasandha 17 times. And then when he left the 18th time, you know, 17 times, it's enough to make the point, you would think, you know. But Prabhupada says it's like, anyway, so just to go quickly. 18th time, he got the message from the Brahmin, you know, Rukmini's about to be married to Sishupal, so immediately he left. And, you know, Jarasandha's thinking, yes, you're afraid of me this time, you know, gotcha this time, you're afraid of me this time. So, Prabhupada points out, later on in the purport, that it is one of the symptoms, and I guess I'll merge a couple things together, it's one of the symptoms that we can't understand how Krishna's moving. Just like Rukmini, When Krishna wasn't coming, you know, Krishna likes drama. He waits till the last minute. Krishna's the famous, you know, like when he's in the coils of Kaliya serpent and waits till everyone's almost passed out. So Krishna, I think it's the Aristasura demon is attacking, you know, storm. Everyone in Vrindavan is completely in anxiety. The things like dust and smoke and all the ground is shaking like an earthquake. He's charging right at Krishna. And the first thing Krishna does is straighten his belt. Then he gives him, you know. So, Govardhan Hill, little finger, left hand. So Krishna loves, he likes drama. And he likes to put his devotees in anxiety. So Krishna did not appear till the last minute to save Rukmini. And it's described how Rukmini was thinking. Rukmini was thinking, she didn't blame Krishna. If something goes right in this world, we can blow it 18 times. And if we get it right the 19th time, if it goes wrong the first 18 times, it's all Krishna's fault. Krishna, why didn't you do this? We blame Krishna. And if the 19th time we get it right, we take full credit. It's all due to my keen intelligence. Or Prabhupada says if a man is sliding off a roof, sliding down, and he'll be praying, and we say he's a roofer working in it, and all of a sudden he slips, sliding off, which actually happened to a devotee. His name is Ranti Dev. He offered his obeisances when Prabhupada went by, forgot he was on the roof. No, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's Ranti Dev. He landed right at Prabhupada's lotus feet. Prabhupada said, utsaha. You know, enthusiasm. You know. He was a little banged and scraped, but, you know, he survived. So a man is on a roof. He's not a devotee. This man is on the roof. He's hammering away. And he slips. And as he's sliding, they say, oh, God, please save me. Please, oh, please, God, I'll do anything. Please save me, everything I have. And just as he's about to go over the edge, this is a Prabhupada story, his pants, the loop of his pants, you know, the whatever you call it, for the belt, catches on a nail. and he just, you know, right at the end of the roof, he doesn't fall off. What is his conclusion? Oh, I sure was lucky. Forgets all about Krishna, forgets all about his promises, and thinks, oh, I was lucky. Oh, but that the nail was there, that his pants caught, that the nail held, all of that is Krishna's mercy. But that we forget. But how Rukmini took it. Rukmini began to calculate all of her shortcomings. She lists, oh, it's because of some offense or because I'm unqualified. So when Krishna didn't respond according to her intentions, Krishna has his own plan. That's my point. Krishna has his own way of doing things. And Rukmini simply took it. This is Krishna's arrangement. How did she respond? So in a similar fashion, one of our sannyasis, there was a GBC meeting, and he was not very satisfied with the decision. And this is not to justify all GBC decisions. This is just because it's an example I had to happen to think of. The sannyasi said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I don't agree with this, you know, decision. And Prabhupada said, that's all right. Whatever you've decided collectively, he gave the example of the Pandavas, whatever they would argue, but whatever decision they made collectively, that was it. Prabhupada said you couldn't put a pin between them. So whatever decision is made, that's it. You accept it. And then Prabhupada said, and if there's some error, he said, Krishna will fix it. And that was, you know, obviously the end of the conversation. The sannyasi bowed down. And as he bowed down, he was thinking, yeah, but how long will that take, you know, for Krishna to fix it? And how, and will Krishna fix it? And as he was coming up, he said, Prabhupada slammed his hand on his desk and said, but not in your time, in his time. So it was almost, you know, Prabhupada could understand his mentality. So in a similar fashion, Krishna has his own way of doing things. And the one of the symptoms, meek and humble, to always feel dependent on the mercy of the Lord. So we can see that, how Rukmini responded. Let's see what I wanted to say. Oh, Hare Krishna. Rukmini was captivated simply by hearing. She had not seen Krishna, but simply by hearing the glories of Krishna, she became completely captivated. So people have their idea, what is a yoga practice in San Francisco, where Prabhupada used to see, you know, they asked Prabhupada, what is a hippie? You've seen that tape? Prabhupada rolls his eyes, oh, he's something extraordinary. You know, it says Prabhupada had lived through San Francisco, you know. And Malati tells the story. The fire is there, the first initiation. At the end of the ceremony, Prabhupada said, bow down. But you know, with Prabhupada's wonderful, rich, sweet, transcendental accent, and the, you know, our hearing, you know, climbing out of the mode of ignorance, they thought Prabhupada said, blow. So here's Prabhupada, you know, and you don't blow on Agni Dev. And Prabhupada sees his whole group that he's just initiated all bow down and start blowing. And Mali said, you know, she called it saucer eyes. Prabhupada just got this look like, Prabhupada, I was in Prabhupada's room in Detroit, and Prabhupada said, just as Lord Ram conquered with monkey soldiers, Prabhupada said, I'm spreading this movement with monkey disciples. So, just, I don't know exactly how we got off on that, but, so hippies. So, and meditative process, and how Rukmini became attached to Krishna, simply by hearing. So, this one yogi said, when I chant, he asked Prabhupada, he said, I see lights, I hear bells. Thinking this is an affirmation that he, you know, opened the fifth chakra and was, you know, Prabhupada said, keep chanting, it'll go away. The guy was a little disappointed, you know. But what is the actual meditative process? What is the goal of meditation? And here we see Rukmini simply by hearing about Krishna. Prabhupada was, one of the artists told me this story, that Prabhupada said, a devotee asked Prabhupada, you know, in this picture, Krishna looks like this. And in this picture, Krishna looks like this. But in this picture, Krishna looks like this. How does he really look? Prabhupada said, don't worry, you'll recognize him. I'm going to make a point, but along the same line, a devotee, and you can hear this, is on a morning walk. I think it's actually Upendra. And he's asking Prabhupada, oh, Prabhupada, is there fog like this in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada doesn't really answer. He says, oh, Prabhupada, is there, you know, this like that? Is there rain like this? Is there this? There's so many. Is this in the spiritual world? Prabhupada doesn't answer. And about the fifth time, you hear Prabhupada say, just go there and find out. So If we simply hear these descriptions of beautiful Krishna, sweet Rukmini, after all, when Rukmi was captured, finally at the end of the thing, you know, he went at charged after Krishna. Again, Krishna's theatrics. With one arrow, no, Krishna took a series of arrows, but one shot, maybe six arrows, whatever, I forget, six, five, whatever, that shot them. He cut Rukmi's string of his bow, killed all of his horses, killed his charioteer, and just to frost the cake, cut off the flag on his chariot. This is Krishna. So when he was ultimately defeated, Rukmi was ultimately defeated, we know that Krishna gave him that little... Actually, Krishna was about to kill him. Anyone know what happened? Rukmi interceded before Balaram. Of course, we know later on Balaram, after speaking ethics and morality, Prabhupada said everything is there in the Bhagavatam. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if the entire literature of humankind was lost, like the burning of the Library of Alexandria, if everything was lost and the only thing that remained was the Bhagavatam, nothing would be lost. Everything is in the Bhagavatam. How to become a perfect gentleman, how to raise a family, how to make money, everything you may possibly want to know. Prabhupada even told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said in the Bhagavatam, he said, actually there's mantras that can make anything fly. Tamal said, anything? He was sitting on a small rug by Prabhupada's bed. Prabhupada looked at the rug and said, anything. So Tamal didn't pursue it any further. But Rukmini interceded. So similarly, I'm saying we're hearing beautiful Krishna, but we always say Sita Ram, Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, Rukmini Dwarkadish, because we approach Rukmini, Lakshmi, Radharani, Sita first, because they are extraordinarily merciful. So here we can see how Rukmini immediately interceded to save Rukmini, Rukma. So my point being, just by hearing, if we hear about beautiful pastimes of Krishna, why don't we just go there and find out? I was in Laguna Beach. They don't have it anymore. What was I going to say? In Laguna Beach, they have a car wash. It's right on the coast highway. Anyone who knows, it's the main drag through town. It's this car wash. And to bring in business, the car wash, the employees were all young women in small bathing suits. And they were right there on the coast highway washing these cars. Now, the thing is, the car wash was here, and maybe 100 feet further was an intersection and a big red light. And what happened was bogus men driving their car would be looking at the women, the light would be red, and they smash. They had accident after accident after accident at this intersection. It was so bad, they had to actually ask the guy, you got to move your gas station or your car wash, or they've got to wear clothes, because somebody's going to get killed because of this thing. So, it's a true story. So, by seeing, by hearing, we're becoming attracted, but what is the use of that thing? I can give you, breakfast is coming up, but here it is. My brother was a fire chief. And this was the perfect time after this story to introduce Prabhupada's liquid beauty story. As a fire chief, it was summer, hot summer, 2 weeks, marathon hot weather. They got a call from an apartment building that was mostly old folks. And the apartments, there was a noxious aroma coming from one apartment. So the door was locked. They couldn't get in. They couldn't see anything. Actually, what they saw was in a chair, they could see the top of someone's head. So they thought some old man is in there, heat exhaustion. You know, something has happened. They axed down the door. They went inside. The man had actually had a heart attack or something, and he'd passed away. And he'd been sitting with all his windows shut, no air conditioning, 110-degree weather. He had baked like a potato. His body was blue. He was completely swollen. And they went to roll him into a body bag, and he exploded. How's that for a pretty picture? Guts, maggots, everything. All over my brother. He said it's the worst thing he's ever been through in his life. So Rukmini later on, in another story, when, you know, Krishna tells her, you don't need to be married to me. You can, you know, just go find someone else who's more qualified. And Rukmini gives her statement that anyone who doesn't surrender to Krishna, And she gives her whole description of the body, you know, mucus, she gives the whole thing. And then she says, simply decorated with a mustache. So we are giving our love so many places. And, you know, whether it's, you know, maternal love to my mother, whether it's some beautiful body, washing a car, whatever it is. But the real thing is, if we just, Prabhupada gave one last, and we'll end here because of the time. He gave a story about Akbar. You know, Akbar was the great emperor. And Akbar's, you know, in the Mughal times. He actually met both Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami. He was so impressed by meeting Rupa Goswami that he gave the land for the Govindaji Mandir, that Govindaji Mandir in Vrindavan, the famous Govindaji Mandir. And he also allowed that red sandstone that was only used for Mughal buildings, but he allowed that to be used for Madan Mohan, for Govindaji, for the Goswami temples, because he was so impressed. I don't remember whether it's Rupa or Jiva, but he sent an emissary that he wanted to meet. He'd heard of the glories of the Goswamis. He wanted them to come to, I don't know whether it was Fatehpur Sikri or whether it was Agra, but he wanted them to come to his palace. And Rupa Goswami sent back the message. First off, he said he's a king. Rupa Goswami sent back the message, there's only one king, and that's Krishna. So then he sent another message, okay, fine, except, but please come see me. He said, no, I don't leave Vrindavan. He said, if you want to come, you can come. But you can't come dressed as a king. You have to come dressed as a simple mendicant. So actually, Akbar came in simple mendicant's clothes, came, it's a wonderful story, actually, it's Rupa Goswami. This time, came to see Rupa Goswami. And at the end of the story, I think I've told this before, but some may know, they may not know. Akbar, you know, being a king, and there, you know, to give in charity. So he said to him, let me give you something, villages, cows, gold. And Rupa Goswami, you know, he's living in his loincloth, living under a different tree. Of course, those trees are Chintamani, Kalpa Briksha. He said, no, you can't give me anything. So, you know, he became a little proud. I'm Akbar. I have to give you something. No one leaves my presence without being benedicted. So understanding his Ishwar above pride, Rupa Goswami said, well, and they were meeting on the banks of the Jamuna. And all of you know they had those little chhatris or those little, you know, those little pavilions and the nice, you know, terrace steps that go down to the river. So they were, and they have railing on the side of those steps. So Rupa Goswami pointed to a section of that railing. And a section, probably from here to Prabhupada's Vyasasan, maybe, was broken. So he said, Rupa Goswami said, can you fix this railing? Now, Akbar, you know, he built Red Fort, both the one in Delhi and the one in Agra. He built Fatehpur Sikri. Fix this railing? He was about to be insulted. And then Rupa Goswami gave him spiritual vision. He could see that all of Vrindavan was Chintamani Dham. And he could see that that railing was all precious jewels and gold. And he calculated that there were not enough jewels in his treasury to repair that one section of railing. And he had to fold his hands and say to Rupa Goswami, I cannot do it. And this way Rupa Goswami reduced his pride and gave him some appreciation for Vrindavan Dham. But Prabhupada, he appreciated, and Prabhupada told this, at least in this regard, told this story. Akbar's prime minister, or whatever you call it, his principal advisor, was Birbal. And Birbal was a Vaishnava. You can still go to Fatehpur Sikri, his house is there. You can see his nice Krishna altar. He was a devotee, Bhakta, Krishna Bhakta, Vaishnava. And he used to talk with Akbar. So Akbar asked him one time, you know, we have our picture of Allah. And, you know, he's maintaining the universe, but he's at such a distance. And you have your Krishna, you know, he's coming to save his devotees. We think this is petty. We think that Krishna's driving this Arjuna's chariot or, you know, becoming the tied up by Mother Yasoda. We don't really appreciate it. We think this, you know, awe and reverence, Aishwarya Bhav, this is a much higher concept of God. This is a deeper love, deeper appreciation. What do you say, Birbal? Birbal said, I will show you. Didn't say anything. What Birbal did was he made a... Akbar had a favorite grandson. And what Birbal did was made a model or a dummy of that favorite grandson. He had a plot and he had it kept separate. One day, Akbar was walking along with his entourage on the retinue, you know, on his big, what do you call it, his posse. They were all walking along the bank of the Jamuna. And at a signal, Birbal had this dummy of the grandson thrown in the river. And the grandson didn't know how to swim. Immediately Akbar jumped in the river to save his grandson. And then he realized it was a dummy, and you know, he was all wet, and you know, and he, but he knew Birbal enough. He said, "This is something." He said, "Why have you done this?" And Birbal said, "He said, you have so many assistants, you have so many competent people here. You could have snapped your fingers and said, you know, go save my grandson. But you went yourself. Why? Because of the depth of your love. So just understand Krishna's love for his devotees." And Akbar could understand how it's a higher understanding, the ras, bhakti ras of a devotee. So we'll talk more tonight, but this is a wonderful opportunity to meditate on the merciful Rukmini, beautiful, all-attractive Dwarkanath, and to take shelter of them. That's the real, instead of loving a dog or a cat, why not love them who made all of that? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
So, Bhajaran Prabhu will be speaking again at about 5:45 p.m. this afternoon. And again, I just want to mention that we start with the procession with Rukmini Gopinath at 3:15 this afternoon. And we'll be going around the different properties that we have here in the temple so that they can get a view. And then after that, we have the yajna, the fire yajna, Agnihotra. And then after that, we have Pushpanjali, and then Budding Rifle will speak. And that'll go till Sundar Arti. And then we'll have Abhishek for Shishi Rukmini Gopinath. And then after that, there'll be Prasad.
What's not to love?
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
You can do whatever you want. Who? Yeah, she wants to know.
Oh, I also forgot to mention that this afternoon we're going to have like an 8-minute video prior to Bhajan speaking about what's going to